WOMC HD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Enlightened philosophers tell us that we are divine beings in human form. Let's get real here. How can we live a busy life with a job, kids, and a mortgage and still be spiritual? Join CJ Liu as she tackles real life issues through a spiritual lens and talks with experts in relationships, work, and more. You'll get practical life skills and learn how to touch, feel, and experience a whole new way of living. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com, and call CJ now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky. Believe.
Welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ on CBS Sky Radio. New horizons, no boundaries. We're here every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, and we want to welcome our guests and our listeners to the show. Fired Up with CJ, her website, I want to give you that before I go to her and her guest, is firedupwithcj.com. You can find this show and more shows like it on her website. You can also follow CJ on her Facebook, and that's also, again, Fired Up with CJ. Hi, CJ.
Hey, Cassandra. I've had a big day today. I just bought a car with my husband.
Ooh, fun. Is it your car or his car?
You know what? We actually shared the car together, and we got a new Prius, so I'm so excited. I love our new car. It's exciting.
I got a new car a year ago, and my kids, we always say, that's stupid space car, because there's so many buttons on it. I'm sure in your new car, you're going, what are these buttons? You actually have to read the manuals now.
The guy actually gave us a thing where we had to be, you know, at the end, they kind of like, now we're going to sell you this service agreement. And I had like, these are all the electric controls on the car, and there's literally 1,000 electric components on the car. It's crazy now.
Yeah, yeah. You have to almost take a class.
I know.
To buy a car, but good, good.
Yes.
Congratulations.
It's an exciting day for me. So, today we're going to be talking about spectacular bond, reaching the child with autism. I'm choking here.
Take a quick drink.
Sorry about that. So, news to me. The autism spectrum disorder, ASD, and autism is the fastest growing serious developmental disability in the U.S. And I was shocked. It actually affects 2 million individuals in the U.S. and tens of millions worldwide. And this is something that I actually really didn't know anything about. And reading Spectacular Bond and researching the program, I have so much compassion for parents who have children with autism, as well as the kids. It's a very challenging scenario. And today we're going to be talking to Dr. Susan Goh, who's a pediatric neurologist, and Susan Deland, who is a parent of a 13-year-old child diagnosed with autism. And together they created this wonderful program called Spectacular Bond that we're going to learn about today, as well as just get an update on what's happening with autism and just a general overview of what autism is. So welcome, guys, Suzanne and Susan.
Thank you.
That's a tongue twister. I'm going to see if I can say that really fast 5 times. All right. So tell us a little bit, for those that are unfamiliar with autism, tell us about what autism is and some of the symptoms that are associated with it.
Sure. Well, autism, it falls within a category of disorders that we call neurodevelopmental disorders. And that means disorders that affect brain development. Mm. One of the, you know, autism is often called a complex developmental disorder, and that refers to the fact that it not only affects the brain, but a lot of other processes in the body too, and we're learning more and more about those, you know, such as the gastrointestinal tract, the immune system, and other physiological processes. And it's also referred to under the terminology of pervasive developmental disorder. And that's because it doesn't just affect one part of the brain, but it affects many different systems in the brain. For example, language development, social development, motor skills, and also sensory processing.
Okay, and do they have a sense of what causes? I mean, how does one get these neurodevelopment or pervasive development disorders? Is it something that's genetic? Is it something, I had read something about certain mothers during certain parts of their pregnancy who don't take folic acid? I mean, what's really the cause?
Well, there are one of the things that adds to the complexity of autism is that there are many, many different causes.
Mm-hmm.
So we do know that there are a lot of genetic causes, and some of them are fairly straightforward, you know, where there's a single gene mutation that leads a child to have autism, and others where you need a combination of different gene variants.
Mm-hmm.
So a single one wouldn't be enough, but once you get two or three or four in combination, plus having some environmental exposures, so we think that it's, you know, that there are multiple risk factors that can kind of push a child over a threshold toward showing these symptoms.
Mm. Okay, now, Susan, I know that your daughter, you kind of caught it at age three, but how did you know that there was something up and that you actually should have gotten her, or, you know, get her a diagnosis, a formal diagnosis?
She ended up in kind of an unusual case. She developed normally as a baby, but then at about the age of two, she started to regress in various parts of her development. For instance, she had trouble descending stairs suddenly while she had already been able to do it. She became more isolated. She lost some language that she had. She became unpotty trained. So sometimes that happens with the girls when they develop autism, is that they have this kind of okay infancy, and then they regress. And it was all these things in combination that made us go to see a neurologist at Columbia University and get the diagnosis that it had hurt when she was age three.
And so, Suzanne, is it usually something that you would, in Susan's case, her daughter was a little bit unusual. What normally happens so that you know that there's something that you need to check out?
Yeah, well, there's generally two different ways that children will come to us. One is that, you know, pretty much from birth, the children, the parents notice something's not quite right, either in comparison with older siblings, or they just notice the child isn't making noises or isn't starting to interact. And so sometimes children will come that way when the parents notice something like that. Other times it will be similar to the way that Susan's daughter Diane presented, which is that things seem to be going fine for, you know, the first year or two of life, and then suddenly there's a loss of some of these key developmental skills. And it's almost always, it really is usually the parents who notice and bring it to the attention of the doctors.
And so what's happening within the case of Susan's daughter that was a regression? What is actually happening? So everything is actually developing within normal ranges, but then all of a sudden there's a regression. What's actually happening in that case?
Well, it's, you know, anytime progression like that happens in a child, there are lots of different tests that need to be done to try to identify the cause. Sometimes it's something that we call a metabolic disturbance, so there's something wrong with the way that the body's biochemistry is working. And often, unfortunately, for children with autism, we can't identify anything. So after doing all the tests, there's no cause that we can pinpoint.
Wow. Okay, so then once you actually, so is it at 100%, if you're actually diagnosed, is it you have autism, is there any doubt or questioning them? Because it's unclear, is there sometimes where there's a misdiagnosis with autism, or is it usually pretty accurate? I'm familiar because I...
Sure. Yeah. You know, it's the diagnosis of autism, it's not one of these things that's black and white. Or that's, that, you know, where there's a single blood test or single type of test that can diagnose it. It is very subjective. And especially in more recently, there have been changes to the diagnostic criteria. So a child that might have been diagnosed with it several years back today might not meet the same criteria anymore. So it is an area that's very dynamic and in flux. And some children who have a diagnosis, for example, at age two or three, you know, if they're retested at four, five, or six, they may not meet the criteria anymore. So
interesting.
Yeah, it is very dynamic.
And when they say it's on a spectrum, what is the spectrum that it's on? Because it seems like there's a range in terms of the effects that it has and the symptoms that it has on the child.
Yes, and that's why it's referred to as an autism spectrum disorder, because it ranges dramatically from very mild to very severe.
Okay.
And the types of symptoms that a child may have also varies widely.
Okay, so if you have a child that actually has severe, could it be that over time with treatment and programs like yourself, like yours, could they actually get to mild? Or is it, if they're severe, probably always severe? How does that work?
No, it can change. So children, and I've seen this a lot in my own practice where, a child, for example, may not be speaking. Even a child as old as 4 or 5 or 6 years old, may have very, very limited social interaction and may have a lot of unusual behaviors, what we call repetitive behaviors or stereotyped behaviors. And so to outside observers, it seems to be a very severely affected child.
Mm-hmm.
But those children can make dramatic progress. And often the symptoms that you see aren't necessarily a sign of limitations in their ability to learn and grow, is that they're responding to something in the outside environment. Some of these children are very sensitive to.
Oh, interesting. So it could be environmental at that point. They're actually responding to something, and if they're in a different environment, they could move from where they are on the spectrum.
That's right.
Wow. That's super complicated. It's very complicated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Susan, how did you feel when your daughter, when you got the diagnosis? You seemed extremely hopeful and kind of a can-do attitude, but was there any part of you that was like, oh, my gosh, what do I do
now? Oh, yeah. That first day when I was sitting in the parking lot after receiving the diagnosis, I will never forget. It hits you to your core. As you just said, as Suzanne just explained, it's very complex, and there is no quote-unquote cure. And the causes are unknown, and children can, move within the spectrum and go from better to worse. So we didn't know what our daughter's future was going to be at that point. But the good news is I rallied pretty quickly to start evaluating the possibilities for how to work with her, and was lucky enough to come up with this particular methodology, Spectacular Bond.
Yeah, because I think it would be hard, because if you think about what we all fear and what we don't like is the unknown, right?
Exactly.
I don't know where you're on the spectrum. I'm not sure how long, maybe it will go away, because what I'm hearing is that some of these things you may get diagnosed at age 3 and then at age 5 you're not. So maybe it will go away, maybe it won't. I mean, I think as a parent that would be extremely scary, because you don't really know what it means in terms of. And it could actually get worse, right? If untreated, does it get worse? Is it possible? Because this is a brain, and the brain's developing, and who knows what ways. Could it get worse in teen years, adults? Does it get worse?
Yeah. Yes, it can. And I think you've really hit the nail on the head, which is that this particular condition puts parents in such a difficult position, because so much is unknown.
Yeah.
And so much can change over time. And I think there's a lot of, understandably, a lot of anxiety about what the future might bring.
Yeah. Well, what would you tell a parent? Because I imagine when they find, it's kind of one of those things that they're sitting, waiting. And I don't know. If I were a parent, I would be hoping that I wouldn't. It's not. I would be like, I hope that my kid is just having a temporary something or other. But what advice would you give someone who has a child that was just recently diagnosed with autism? What kind of words of encouragement or advice would you give them?
Well, I think Susan will have, a lot to say about that. Let me just say that I think that the message today is very different than it was 10 or 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think, coming from the field of neurology, I know back then something like autism, especially these brain conditions that started in early childhood, they were thought to be unchangeable. They were thought to be static. Mm-hmm. And we now know that's absolutely not the case. So tremendous change and improvement and positive brain growth is possible, and we know that it takes a really multifaceted approach, targeting the right medical therapies and putting in place even the right diets or vitamins and supplements, and then putting in place a really good quality behavioral and educational program.
Okay, so we're going to hear from Susan Ott when we come back. So we have the co-authors of Spectacular Bond, Reaching the Child with Autism, and then we're going to be talking in the next in the next segment, treatment plans, because I think that there's so many. I did some research on the internet, and there's there's so many different options out there. As a parent, I think I would just be confused. And as I saw one woman on the internet driving around all day trying all these treatment programs to get solutions. So we're going to be right back and talk about treatment programs.